Friday here on ESPN Plus on a Liga MX final Thursday. Alongside Hercules Gomez, I'm Sebi Salazar. Herc, as always, great to be with you. This is episode 250 of Football Americas. Can you believe it?
Yep, I cannot.
That's what I said.
I cannot. Congratulations, Seb.
Okay. We made it.
I'm just hoping I don't get you upset, because when you wear that jacket, I tend to upset you.
Oh, really? What was the last time I wore this jacket?
I threatened to choke you on air.
Oh, I do remember that out when I was in one of our first visits to the LA studios. Yeah. That's why we got to be separated literally.
But it looks good on you.
By a whole country. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, the yellow really pops. What do you got there?
This is a limited edition.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Show
a
us.
Japan jersey, but it's the Dragon Ball Z Goku.
Wow. Look at her. Just always dripping here on Football Americas. All right, coming up in this edition of the show, we've, of course, got to talk about the first leg of the Liga MX final. Tigres,
yes,
Chivas, kicking off later tonight. Mauricio Pedrosa is going to stop by. We're going to do that at the end of the show, kind of a preview vibe as we get ready for kick there. We also got some big interviews in this show. Pellegrino Matarazzo, I had a chance to go one-on-one with him, the manager at Hoffenheim, got them effectively safe in the Bundesliga. We'll also hear from Ethan Horvath, who's about to play for a spot in the Premier League with Luton Town. All that coming up here on this edition 250 of Football Americas. But let's start with something that is near and dear to our heart here on the show, Herc. The U.S. Open Cup. And we're going to kick it off with some cup sets, because there was two of them. Pittsburgh Riverhounds, Columbus Crew, and the Hounds beating MLS opposition, Herc, for a second round in a row.
I mean, it's an open lane down the center. He's not going to miss from there. Very calm. Look at the crowd right behind him.
Albert Dikwa with the goal for Pittsburgh. 6,100 in attendance there at Highmark Stadium, a record as the Hounds are moving on. Also Wednesday, Birmingham Legion, Charlotte FC. Charlotte had a man sent off early in the second half, and 10 minutes later, Prosper Kassim with the goal, Herc.
All right. I've been told it's the most important game in Alabama's soccer history.
Ooh.
They did not disappoint.
They did not disappoint, winning the Southeastern battle there over Charlotte FC by a final score of 1-0. All right, Herc, of the two cup sets we witnessed in the round of 16, which for you was more impressive?
Listen, they're both impressive. Let's not take anything away from any of these two teams. But more impressive, let me go with the team that's been around for 4 years, okay? Birmingham. The Pittsburgh Riverhounds, I'll get to them in a second. They've been around for 24 years, great organization. But Birmingham, a team of second chances, if you will, against Charlotte. And say what you will about Charlotte, but it wasn't like they held on. If you look at the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, Columbus had something like 73% possession.
Yes.
They both
yeah.
played alternate lineups. But Birmingham took it to them. I understand there was a red card about 50 minutes in. But still, if you look at the numbers, overwhelmingly on Birmingham. It was like 60-40 when it came to possession. Something like 8-1 in the second half when it came to shots on goal. Now, I'm going to throw some names at you, okay? Jay Heaps, do you remember him? New England Revolution?
Of course.
Okay,
yep.
President GM. Tom Sawin, do you remember him?
He's the DC head United.
Coach. DC United, head yep. coach. Juan Agudelo, he was my roommate on the national team at one point in a Russia camp. He's plays up top with them. Mikey Lopez, New York City FC. Enzo Martinez, you remember him? Uruguayan that played for Colorado at one point. This is a team of second chances that took it to a Major League Soccer team, not just held on, took it to him. The crowd was electric. It was amazing. A team that's barely been around for 4 years. What a way to make your presence felt. Mm. This, to me, was the biggest surprise of them all.
Okay. Eight players with MLS experience in the starting lineup for Birmingham Legion FC as they got the cup set there last night. I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, Herc. And it's because, kind of for the same reasons you talk about with Birmingham, the how they did it. Right? You talk about the 73% possession. It was actually 75% possession for the Columbus Crew. But the question then is, what did they do with that possession? 0.4 expected goals. Now, I'm not a big expected goals guy. You don't have to know anything about math or statistics or anything. 0.4 expected goals is bad, especially when you have the ball for three quarters of the game. So let's give the Pittsburgh Riverhounds some credit. The other thing that was amazing, and you saw it right there in the video, Herc, is the crowd. If you've ever been to Pittsburgh Stadium, it's right on the Monongahela River. It's a beautiful skyline of the city, but it's small, and they got over 6,000 in there. In fact, it drew so much attention, our future colleague, Pat McAfee, Herc, was talking about it on his show. This is truly the magic of the Open Cup. Let's listen in.
I seen the Pittsburgh Riverhounds beat the Columbus Crew last night.
Yeah. Big win.
Okay.
Woo!
Team out of Pittsburgh. with a stadium right on a river down there.
Oh, it's a beauty.
That's right. You just go out down there in North Shore.
Yep.
Now, soccer field.
Yep.
On the river. Mm-hmm. Couldn't even imagine or fathom the wind down there. And that's what you get, a little grit, when you come to Grittsburg and play the Grittsburg Riverhounds.
Yep. That's right.
Beat the out of Columbus Crew. See ya. Put them in the MLS now.
Yes, okay? You should. That should be the way it works.
Down in Hontown, what do you think, Herc?
I love Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh has history, American soccer history. I'm old enough to remember them making a run. Do you remember Thiago Martins? Do you remember that great Brazilian player that played for the Pittsburgh Riverhounds? Was a DC United player at one point, Chivas USA. Amazing story. The guy literally was like on a beach playing soccer. They found him because he didn't have anywhere to live. Went to Santa Barbara. Ended up being a great story at the University of Santa Barbara. And then in the A-League, MVP of the A-League, to what is Major League Soccer. But it all happened because of the Open Cup. It all happened because of that season. It's an amazing, amazing tournament with tons of great stories and that always fond in our hearts. But I still remember that team from the early 2000s.
Yep. Yeah, the Riverhounds made the quarterfinals in 2001. That's their last kind of high watermark in the Open Cup. I also give them a shout-out because they're what a lot of USL teams are trying to be but aren't quite yet. They are truly Western PA kids. Like the kid that gave the assist on the goal played at Upper St. Clair. That's one of the high schools right there in Pittsburgh. They're a true Pittsburgh team. And if you thought they liked beating Columbus, they're going to love beating Cincinnati. People in Western PA, they love beating teams from Ohio. So I think there could be another cup set in the cards there. Let's get to the rest of the action, Herc, from the round of 16, because there were some other great games, so no more cup sets. We'll start with FC Cincinnati and the New York Red Bulls. FC Cincinnati getting by in a penalty shootout, Herc.
Yeah, penalty shootout, doesn't matter how. That's Cincinnati undefeated in the last eight. This team is on a roll. I believe they only have one loss on the season. Perfect at home, and now they'll advance. This was obviously not there, but it's good for Cincinnati. Keep it rolling.
Meanwhile, Inter Miami getting a 2-1 victory over Nashville. So Inter Miami making a cup run, Herc.
Yeah, Nashville with a lot of lineup changes here. Miami absolutely needs this. You understand what is going on in Miami. You see how tensions are high. You saw the altercation between Philip Neville and a reporter last game. They needed this.
You know who else needs a cup run? The Houston Dynamo. They won 4-0 over Minnesota.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about Ben Olsen. He's doing a great job. But let me talk about Corey Baird, had a hat trick in this game. That's now his most productive season since 2019. Three assists to go with that in Major League Soccer play.
Minnesota finishing this game with 10 men. In fact, they played most of it with 10. Chicago, 2-0 winners over Austin. Another knockout elimination for Austin FC.
And in Austin. In Austin. This is massive. Frank Lopez, he was a commentator turned coach. I mean, he's been there, done that before. But since he's taken over, 3-1-1 record.
Commentator turned coach. When are they going to give you a call, huh?
I'm good.
Colorado RSL. RSL 1-0 winners on a goal from Jefferson Savarino.
Second time this week they've beaten Colorado, RSL that is. And Colorado winless at home in all competitions. Oh, they need something to happen.
There it is. RSL 1-0 winners. How about the game of the round? El Tráfico. LAFC and the LA Galaxy. And the Galaxy win 2-0. Goals from Tyler Boyd and Ricky Pooch.
Watch this banger from Tyler Boyd off the left foot. And then look at this goal. So I want you to concentrate on the goal, but look at Chicharito right here with the shield. Look at him. Ooh. He's shielding the defender. They didn't catch that. Great play by him.
Ricky Pooch with the goal, the celebration, and afterwards, a little run-in with Giorgio Chiellini. Here it is.
Jugamos para ganar títulos. Creo que los jugadores, pues, más satisfechos cuando ganas títulos. Creo que jugamos para ganar títulos.
What are we calling this? Shots fired or get lost? I think we're gonna do get lost. But there we have Ricky Pooch's social media response. And as you can see, Ricky Pooch and Giorgio Chiellini, not the first time that they've crossed paths on a soccer field. Chiellini calling Pooch a clown after the Galaxy advanced to the quarterfinals of the Open Cup. We're calling it get lost. Herc, who are we giving the get lost to? Ricky Pooch or Giorgio Chiellini?
Let me give it to both of them.
No, pick. Yeah.
You got to pick. I'm going one further and calling them both. I'm telling them both to get lost. All right? Listen to this. If you're Ricky Pooch, you get lost for trying to replicate a celebration that Messi did against a bunch of kids who can't even drink right now. And that's not his fault, right? But this was a C team at best by LAFC. And by the way, those kids have a future. Those kids were balling in the first half. Very good players. See Terrell Littlehouse out there. But Ricky Pooch, the reason he does a celebration is not to dunk on these kids. He's trying to dunk on the fan base of LAFC because after he misses a penalty kick, those fans went into him. So when he scores, rightfully, he wants to rub it in their face, and he's doing what he wants to do.
Getting some showers there, too.
Fair play, whatever, whatever. But it's a little much. So get lost right there. But then if you're Giorgio Chiellini, I mean, go up to him. Say it to his face. Don't say it when you're turning the corner. That's a get lost on you right there. But then the reaction by Ricky Pooch of posting a goal that he scored in preseason on a preseason tour against Giorgio Chiellini. He was probably
Somebody else posted that, Herc. Somebody else posted that.
They posted it and he quoted it.
Okay? Okay.
He quoted it. So you're quoting a goal, like rubbing it in his face, that you scored in preseason when Giorgio Chiellini was probably still hung over from, guess what, the Euros that he won, okay, with Italy. Like, it's a get lost on all facets. And also, can I get a get lost for Sebastian Salazar, please?
Oh, what? Go on, yeah?
Because Sebastian Salazar told me this was the best rivalry game in Major League Soccer.
It is.
Could you imagine Chivas or America strutting out their C team under any circumstances to play against their biggest rival? Could you imagine Rangers doing that to Celtic?
I was disappointed.
Could you imagine Barca or Real Madrid doing this? Could you imagine Portland or Seattle, because they wouldn't do this, doing this? What happened, Seb? You told me this was the best rivalry in Major League Soccer.
You know what? They disrespected the LA Galaxy a little too much. They've been watching this program, and they said we can roll out just about anybody, and we'll be fine getting past the LA Galaxy. LAFC have bigger things on their horizon to worry about, okay? So I think you can give them a little bit of a pass there. Let's get to the Open Cup quarterfinal matchup. See who will be throwing down for a spot in the last four of the U.S. Open Cup. Ooh, some nice matchups there. All right. Let's talk about the potential cup sets first. Pittsburgh is going to go to FC Cincinnati. Meanwhile, Birmingham gets to host Inter Miami. Woo. And then we got Chicago Fire against the Houston Dynamo, RSL against the LA Galaxy. Check out the US Open Cup on the website, usopencup.com. Also follow them on Twitter and Instagram as well. We are headed to the last eight of the US Open Cup. Two USL teams in the last eight for the third Open Cup in a row.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Open Cup used to be on ESPN Plus, not anymore, we're sad, but the Bundesliga still is, season wrapping up this Saturday. How about our guys at Hoffenheim, big 4-2 winners last weekend over Union Berlin, a result that all but assures they'll stay up. Full credit to our guy Pellegrino Matarazzo, who took over back in February. At that point, Hoffenheim were winless in 9 and 3 points from the relegation zone. Now they're effectively safe. It would take some crazy slash impossible math for Hoffenheim not to stay up. That leaves Augsburg, Stuttgart, Bochum, and Schalke all hoping to avoid joining Hertha Berlin in Bundesliga 2 next season. Joining us next on Football Americas, the pride of Wayne, New Jersey, and Colombia men's soccer, as well as the manager of Hoffenheim, of course, in the Bundesliga, Pellegrino Matarazzo. Coach, great to have you back on the show.
Nice to be here. Nice to see you.
All right, so I'm looking at the permutations here for the last week of Bundesliga play. Technically, Hoffenheim is not safe, right? You got to get a point. But even if you lose, Bochum would have to make up 26 goals on you guys, I think. So do you feel safe? Like, are you sleeping at night as if you're safe?
I always sleep at night. Well, at least most of the time. But yes, we do actually feel safe because we, you know, we're realistic. The probability of anything happening is very, very slim. So we're feeling good right now.
So you do that math. Obviously, that's the goal when you take the job in February is to keep this team up. What's that feeling, that sensation when you finally know, hey, we've done it. We're safe.
Yeah. Yeah, extremely satisfying. I think you know, the situation in when you fight against relegation is very complicated. You know, just to feel enormous pressure. The guys feel enormous pressure. You feel there's like moments of self-doubt or doubting within the team. So just still finding, you know, ways to perform and bring any energy on the pitch is always. You need a lot of effort, you know, a lot of focus, a lot of effort. And the guys just rewarded themselves in the last couple of weeks with good performances, with sticking together, staying as a unit, working as a unit. And of course, you know, reaching our goals just does a lot for the feeling of well-being.
You mentioned the self-doubt. And I wonder as a manager, if you ever think about, especially with your American ties, you know, what it would be like to coach in a system where there wasn't relegation and maybe what that would allow you or not allow you to do. Do you ever think about that?
Yeah, well, I do because, you know, 2 years in a row, I fought against relegation and just the feeling of, you know, that is something very different and very special in its own way. I think if there was no relegation, you can start to prepare differently for the coming season. And of course, but there may be a different emotion. You know, I think the relegation battle just gives the fan more emotion, and that's what football is all about. So, you know, I'm happy it's here. I'm happy to have experienced it twice, and of course, successfully. Because if not, then I don't think the feeling's too great.
Let's go back, Coach, to when you take over here like 3 months ago. There's a word in Spanish, bombero, no, like firefighter, for the coach that comes in when the team's in need of a boost. How is that role different? How does that work different? Because you're still the manager, but how does that work different from maybe what you were doing at a place like Stuttgart where you'd been for quite a while?
I think if you come to a new team, you know, you have the process of getting to know what's going on. So what's the situation? Where are the players at? Where's the team at? Where's the club at? So it's new. You know, first and foremost, if you've been at a club for a while, you've been part of the development, so you know exactly what's going on. So you need to, if you want to change something in a club where you're already at and you need to get them out of a hole, then you need to change yourself or change your approach. So if you're coming to a new club, whatever you do is new. So it's all about like first diagnostics, just like I said, finding out what's the problem, what does the team need, what does each player need to get into performance. So it's a bit different, but similar in a way, because, you know, it's getting out of the holes. It's the situation is the same. You know, if you're there, you're there, and you're dealing with the same feelings, same emotions. And so just about reinventing yourself or just coming in new and doing your thing.
Coach, one of the guys that you've leaned on in this run, John Brooks, he was recently put on the U.S. men's national team preliminary list for the CONCACAF Nations League. What are you seeing from this player, and what do you think he could bring at the international level?
Yeah, we call him Jay. Even if he's called John Brooks, Jay is he was so important for us in these last games. The first couple of games, he needed to find his rhythm, to get into performance. So we tried him out on the left defensive back. And I think the biggest impact he had on our team when he started playing in the middle, center back position in the back three, he just his calmness, his on the ball is gives us, you know, composure. His defensive intelligence just helped stabilize our whole defensive line. I think even the stats show in the last 10 games how good we were defensively, and a lot of that has to do with Jay and the performance he gave us. You know, he's with his experience, with his know-how, he gave the team a lot.
One of your big wins on this run was against Bayern Munich. You made some history when you beat Bayern Munich because you did it twice in the same season at Bayern Munich. That's the first time ever, right? What did that feel like?
I mean, the stat, I'm going to be honest, the stat doesn't give me too much. I would have preferred to win twice. It would have felt better. But, you know, that was just the confirmation of what the guys had been doing even the weeks before and the path we're on. So I think that game was just a confirmation of where we were going and the performance we were bringing. For me personally, the stat doesn't mean too much.
Yeah. I had to bring that up because I want to ask you about the Bundesliga title race, and you seem to have had a huge influence on it. We talked, I think, in one of our interviews, maybe even last season, about, you know, whether Bayern's dominance in the Bundesliga was kind of good for German football or bad for German football. Now they got some competition. What do you make of the title race that's about to be decided this weekend?
Oh, it's of course it's super interesting, and it helps the league. It makes it more and more attractive. I think this year in the Bundesliga is whether it's the fight for the title or even the relegation fight, everything's been so close. So I think throughout the whole table, a lot of interesting matchups, and you know, with the last going to the last game and the title not being decided, it's a big plus for the Bundesliga.
You've got just the one game left. It happens, of course, to be against the club you were at the beginning of the season, Stuttgart. They're kind of in a similar situation in terms of still trying to technically, mathematically avoid the drop. Is that awkward for you? I know, like, if I was going up against a team that had let me go, you know, I would feel a certain way about it. How do you feel?
No, not really. I mean, what I feel is a little excitement to be... to be there again, to see familiar faces, people I've worked with for 3 years, and like very intensely. That's certainly very, very nice. You know, we're going there, of course, very professionally. We're going to win. We play to win, even if, regardless of the results, we most probably would be staying in the league, but we still play to win. And I think it's in general, like when you go back to an old club after years of been working there, it's always a special moment. So
I got to ask you about the U.S. job. It is available. A lot of people are, you know, looking at Jesse Marsh as kind of the leading candidate right now. When you saw that job came open, you know, after the World Cup, how much did it register with you? How much focus did you give it? How much thought did you give it?
Well, I don't give anything much thought until it actually presents itself. So I'm doing what I'm doing here. I'm very happy where I am at the moment. So, like I said, I start to give thought to something when it crosses my path, and something like that has not crossed my path yet. So I don't give it any thought until something's there.
I saw you did an interview with our colleague Archie Rin Tutt, and you talked about giving back to soccer in the U.S. What did you mean there?
Taking on the job as U.S. national team trainer. Is that something that is on your horizon as an ambition one day?
At some point, I do feel like it's time to give back to soccer in the States, but when that time will be, we'll see.
Yeah, that was actually the first time I gave it any thought, is when he asked me the question.
Let's go, Archie.
I was a little surprised.
Yeah, I could tell in the post game. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I see the soccer growing in the States rapidly. I see the academies doing good work. I see so many boys and girls playing soccer. I think it's just a question of time until, you know, the U.S. plays a bigger role on the world stage of soccer. And, you know, giving back means, you know, I spent so much time in my whole youth. I was 22 years old when I left the States. So it's given me so much to who I am, and just wanted to, at some point in the future, just going back and giving back. It's just more of a feeling of gratefulness of what I had, you know, growing up. And, you know, soccer was, you know, I grew up in the States playing soccer, and I know what it meant to be a soccer player in the 80s, in the 90s, yeah, and what a small role it played. And I seen it grow with the first World Cup in 94. And just being part of that process of soccer growing would be, I think, a nice way to give something back to soccer in the States.
Whether it's this time around, next time around, do you want to be considered for the national team manager job?
I said this to Archie, and I say this to you as well. I don't really make too many plans anymore. I used to make plans years back, and then I realized none of them really work out the way you plan. I just look to be the best coach I can be, and when something crosses my path, then I decide whether or not that's the right step I want to take at the moment. So right now I'm just being the best Hoffenheim trainer I can be, and I look to improve every day in my craft and what I'm doing, and then we'll just see what the future holds.
Hold on, Coach. Are you telling me that when you were at Columbia University, you didn't plan to be a Bundesliga manager?
No, I did not. I did not. I knew I wanted to play football. I knew the passion for soccer was too big to step into the business world. So that's why I came over to Europe. So there was some driving force behind my decision making, which wasn't really too conscious of, but it had to do with that passion for the game. And so I am where I am now because of that passion. But not making plans anymore.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, congratulations. I don't want to say on keeping Hoffenheim up. Technically, it hasn't happened yet. But look, 26 goals, Coach. You're safe. Pop the bottles. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the game against Stuttgart as well. Great to have you here on Football Americas. And enjoy the off season. You've earned it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was nice to see you again. And take care. All the best.
Thanks, Coach.
All right.
There he is, Pellegrino Matarazzo, great friend of the show here on Football Americas. And there you see the numbers, an impressive turnaround for Hoffenheim under the New Jersey native. All right, Herc, so a lot to pick out from that interview. What were your big takeaways?
I just really hope you didn't jinx Pellegrino Matarazzo with the 26
goals.
Listen, he's an extremely bright individual. I mean, that's the first thing that pops off pops out at you from the interview is how extremely bright he is, how humble he is. It's no easy feat. I think you mentioned it. You called him a bombero. You called him a specialist. He's gotten maybe, I don't know if that unjust fame, but he's very good at it. He's very good at turning around situations at the highest of levels in the Bundesliga. So you have to, give that to him. He feels like a man that wants to be wanted. And what I mean by that is you kept pressing him about the U.S. men's national team and that interest, and he was very polite and educated about the way he answered. And listen, I don't want to talk about this or even go there until there's interest. If there's interest, we can go there. But till then, it's not in my realm. So it speaks volumes of somebody who can kind of compartmentalize and take that away from his posture and just concentrate on what's in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, they got to talk to this guy, right? At least if you're doing a thorough search, and we believe what we've been told so far, that Jesse Marsh is the leading candidate, so you're clearly, if not only looking at Americans, at least focusing on Americans, Herc. I know we've debated whether Marsh is better than Matarazzo. You're on one side of that. I'm on the Matarazzo side. But you have to at least talk to this guy because there's just not that many people. If this is a true and honest search, I mean, I feel like he's more than earned an interview.
I don't know, Seb. Why?
Because what more could he do? What more could an American coach do than go to the Bundesliga and have success
exactly,
in two places?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, you don't have to be American to coach the U.S. men's national team. So if your only requisite for an interview is because he's an American and he meets the bare minimum, I'm not with that. I think if you've...
I'm saying based on the fact that Jesse Marsh seems, Herc, to be the leading candidate, based on the reports we're hearing, you would assume they're not looking at a global candidate pool. They are looking at a pool that is mostly American. Otherwise, you wouldn't land on Jesse Marsh.
Well, you would land on Jesse Marsh regardless
of all the coaches in the world,
Let me finish. Regardless if it's American or not, there are reasons you would land on an interview for Jesse Marsh, right? He's been in the Premier League and the Bundesliga in the last 18 months, 2 years, if you'd like. Mm-hmm. Before that, he was in the Champions League. He knows the pool very well. He happens to have experience in the domestic game. Mm-hmm. He happens to have experience at the academic level, or I'm sorry, at a academy level within the domestic game. There are reasons you can land on an interview for Jesse Marsh. Whether or not he's your man, that's a completely different subject.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think there's a reason you have to land on Pellegrino here. You know, Pellegrino's a specialist. You said so yourself. You called him a bombero, which I think is
a
fair
assessment.
No, I said
he's a bombero in this role. His role at Stuttgart was not bombero. Huh? He was there for a while. And he got him not just promoted, but then stayed up. Those are two very different roles.
That's a bombero. With all due respect, if you're talking about Bundesliga...
So any manager in the second division is a bombero now?
No. But that's been his role, is trying to keep teams afloat. Would you agree with that?
When they're in the Bundesliga, yes, but when you're taking a team from the second flight to the first flight, you're not trying to stay afloat.
I don't want to talk about the second division anywhere. Not when I'm talking about the U.S. men's national team coach. Not when I'm trying to get at that level, get them to that level. You know, I want to know what you can do at the highest of levels, and then we'll go from there. Now, does he need to be interviewed solely on the fact that he's American? Well, get David Wagner out as well. You know, like that shouldn't be a requisite. You should take an interview with people that make sense. Pellegrino's an awesome story. He's a great manager. I agree. I just don't think he's at the level right now to be in that orbit.
All right. We will have to agree, as we often do on this show, to disagree. The man who's charged with hiring the next U.S. men's national team manager is, of course, Matt Crocker. Hasn't taken over the sporting director job on a full-time basis yet. He will in early August, but he's already working, and he had some interesting comments in a Q&A with the U.S. Soccer website. Here's what we've got. Quote, interviews in June, narrow the list of candidates, engage in midsummer, aim is to have a new coach in place by the end of the summer, although it's possible club circumstances could impact the timeline. We got, a couple mix-ups in there. What we have is a list of candidates who, based on our initial research, we think will fit the profile. We already have had a number of conversations with some of the candidates. Okay, Herc, Matt Crocker seems to be spilling some beans, or maybe a bean, something, nothing, or everything from these comments.
Something, I don't know how much truth I find in them. Maybe it's a game of take them off your scent. Now,
yes,
you know what I mean?
I think I know exactly where you're going, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I'm just, and I like what Crocker's doing here. Listen, he also mentioned in this interview that Anthony Hudson would be the guy leading the team most likely, not only in the Nations League, but the CONCACAF Gold Cup. So come August is when we may see somebody at the helm. And it got me thinking of why you would do that, right? And then now this makes sense, right? What do you have to gain if you're the new U.S. men's national team coach and you don't have time to work with the players and you come into these first two tournaments? What do you have to gain? Very little, right? This is a team that already came off winning two tournaments last summer. They won with two different teams, by the way, the Nations League and the Gold Cup. So don't give him that responsibility, or give that person that responsibility, because the only thing that can happen is they lose, thing goes awry, and there's more pressure on this coach.
That is such a scared approach. If you think you've got the right guy, you go with conviction, you hire him, and you let him work, and you say, hey, if you fail in the Gold Cup with the B team, we'll eat the criticism.
Yeah, U.S. soccer is not about eating the criticism. Now I'm just telling you what I think, my theory. Okay, it doesn't mean that's what they're doing. This is what makes sense to me. Whether you agree with it or not, that's a different question. But this is more of take him off my scent type of deal. Not giving pressure, not putting more pressure on the eventual coach. I feel, whether we agree with it or not, different discussion, but I think this is what's going on.
Yeah, you saw it's an interview with the U.S. Soccer website, right? So then when I see that, I'm like, to be honest, it reads a little bit like a press release at that point.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what I mean? I think that's what you were getting at before. And in a press release, every word matters, right? You don't put anything in a press release unless there's a point. So when you talk about throwing people off the scent, when he says club and that club might, you know, push the timeline on the hire back, what makes you think, okay, well, he's not talking about Jesse Marsh, right? Because Jesse Marsh right now doesn't have a job. I think that's what may be happening here. I think, you know, the toothpaste is out of the tube. The cat is starting to get out of the bag in terms of the Jesse Marsh links. And whether it's because they haven't really gotten that far with Jesse Marsh, or they don't want it to appear that they've gotten that far with Jesse Marsh when Crocker still hasn't even taken over. I think that may be what they're doing here, saying, hey, give us some time, pump the brakes on all the talk, including Jesse Marsh, because we're going to do our due diligence. Is that what you think?
Yes, and also, I mean, they could already, not saying this happened, they could have already landed on Jesse Marsh and just saying, well, we still need to interview others because we need to make it look like an expanded search, like we actually overturned each stone, like we were actually looking at other people. And listen, man, maybe there was a discussion with Jesse Marsh. I'm not saying this happened, but Jesse Marsh is like, okay, I will take the team over on this date, and it didn't coincide with the two tournaments that we were talking about.
Yep, there you have it. So Matt Crocker speaking to the U.S. Soccer website and telling us that they may have a manager by the end of the summer. ESPN Plus, your home for the Bundesliga. And as you heard from Pellegrino Matarazzo, the title race coming down to the last day of the season. Coverage starts at 9 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN+. We got Bayern Munich 2 points behind Borussia Dortmund. Munich against Cologne, Dortmund against Mainz. Don't miss a minute of the action early on Saturday morning.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Speaking of Germany, Timothy Tillman. It's officially official now, U.S. Soccer, confirming that FIFA has approved the 24-year-old's one-time switch. Remember, he represented Germany at the youth national team level. Tillman with 2 goals in 10 appearances so far for LAFC this season. He is, of course, the brother of U.S. international Malik Tillman. So Tillman times two coming to the U.S. men's national team. And this, one of 5 dual nats that have been locked up under Anthony Hudson. Pretty impressive list if you look at them, all of them there under the age of 25 as the dual national continues to become a bigger and bigger part of the U.S. program. And Herc, with that in mind, it's time for a top five. Time to rank the Hudson Five, the dual nats that Anthony Hudson has locked up for the U.S. MNT.
Anthony Hudson.
Now, you refuse to do a top five list. So this is Seb's perfect.
Well, it's not Anthony Hudson's, but go ahead.
Sorry, these are the 5 players who have officially committed by playing in a game that cap ties them to the U.S. under Hudson. Of course, we can give credit for these recruitments to anybody, but that's what we're going here with these 5. Number 1, Fallerin Balogun. No doubt about that. Number 2, Timothy Tillman. Number 3, Taylor Booth. Number 4, Johnny Cardoso. And I'm leaving him last. Alejandro or Alex Zendejas. Herc, what do you think of my 5-man list here and the order I put it in?
All right, let me just start at the most obvious one for me. Mm-hmm. You have Timothy Tillman at number 2.
Yes.
Now, as a player of 24 years of age who's gone backwards in his career. He's essentially been a perennial Bundesliga 2 player. He's had one season in the Bundesliga, the majority in Bundesliga 2. And after 20 competitive games for LAFC in league play and CONCACAF Champions League, 2 goals, 2 assists, and you're ready to not only throw him onto the U.S. men's national, but say, hey, also the number 2 most important player in this setup when you have the likes of Taylor Booth, who has been linked with Ajax and PSV. Mm-hmm. As of late, holds an Italian passport. We could see him in the Serie A, been doing very well in his club in the Eredivisie. You've got Johnny Cardoso, who's doing very well in Brazil, who happens to be maybe the most important player if you think about this in the pool right now, because you don't have a solid backup for Tyler Adams. And then we're gonna go from there. You just left out Zendejas for no apparent reason. Zendejas, this is where it's interesting to me, because Zendejas can actually make a jump and go to Europe, while went from Europe to Major League Soccer. He's going backwards here. Zendejas has actual interest and expressed said interest in playing abroad. He's seen what his teammates, his colleagues at the U17 level did. Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, Luca Della Torre. He was with those guys. And when you speak to guys like Alejandro Zendejas and a Brandon Vasquez, who were there with those guys, they think of it, they're there. I want to be there. So while one is taking the leap of faith going there, the other one is going to Major League Soccer, and you've capped him at number 2. Right. Now, very good player, sure. But he's proven it at the Major League Soccer level. Go ahead.
Is that it? That it? What am I if not a prisoner of the moment? We've been watching a ton of LAFC of late, and Tillman has been balling. I think he could fit nicely into the midfield. Here's the reality of that 5.
He started very hot. He did.
Here's the reality of that 5. It's 1 and then the other 4. Balogun is a starter impact. Everybody else is, I don't believe, a starter impact. Zendejas at the end is harsh. Yeah. But I look at that position. I see Reyna, who I know you can move. I see Pulisic. I see Weah. I see a ton of options there that's going to be really tough for him to hack through in terms of starting time. With Tillman and Booth, why I move them up is they just have pure quality. I think in midfield, you need some guys with pure quality. So that's why they're at the top of the list. I know Cardoso is of a position of need hurt, but when I think of Cardoso, if Tyler Adams is healthy, not only are you not starting, you're not playing, because Tyler Adams is going to eat up every single minute that matters. I love Taylor Booth, and I really love Tillman, and I think those type of skilled players that can fit in an eight, which you've got two of, they can fit maybe out wide, they can play any number of attacking roles, are very, very useful at the national team level. I like both those guys.
Guess what Timothy Tillman needs to do to be a fringe player on the U.S. men's national team?
What are you going to tell me? Go to Europe?
No.
Oh.
Beat out his little brother.
Different positions, right? Different roles.
No, very similar roles. Very similar roles, interiors right there. One is younger, the other one is in Europe. Listen, Tim, you're very prisoner of the moment of you. And listen, mm-hmm. You got me in a top five with Flo Balogun, and not even talking about Flo Balogun. Think about that for a second. Now, this is easily the most exciting dual net that's come out since Giuseppe Rossi. That's a reality because of the position, because of what he's already done in Europe, et cetera, et cetera. And we're sitting here talking about Timothy Tillman because you're a prisoner of the moment. Now I firmly believe, if not because Jose Cifuentes at LAFC is already checked out and going to Rangers himself, like already going to make the jump, he would be behind him. I think Cifuentes is a better player, but he's played and he started out hot in what I would say is mid-level competition in the games that he has played and done well when he started out hot in the beginning, but has cooled as of late. So let's hold your horses like we're giving Anthony Hudson credit here for these dual nats. Let's hold your horses for a second and just tame the expectations on Tillman.
Okay, the Timothy Tillman hype train then put severely in check by Hercules Gomez. Let's move on to Major League Soccer, shall we, Herc? City you used to live in? Going to have an MLS expansion side soon. And we've got a report that's identified who could be the man in charge of said expansion side in San Diego. And it's none other than our current colleague at ESPN Deportes, iconic Mexican footballer, one-time manager of the Mexican national team as well, Hugo Sanchez. Herc, Hugo Sanchez for San Diego FC or FC San Diego. What do you think?
About the name or Hugo Sanchez?
No, Hugo Sanchez. The name's terrible.
All right, let me tell you, first impressions are obviously the things that you don't like or don't make sense.
Okay.
Hugo Sanchez not coached for the better part of a decade, right? He's coming into a league that he knows very little about when in terms of coaching that has rules and regulations unlike any other league on this planet. The last clubs, because it's been over a decade since he's coached, that he has coached in Pachuca and Almeria, didn't really go the way that one would have liked. Here's what I do like about Hugo Sanchez. When we look at what he's done, I mean, just the name recognition, the immediate injection of life you get from an Hugo Sanchez, is Hugo Sanchez, Penta Pichichi, five-time Golden Boot winner in La Liga, four times with Real Madrid. Like, he's a legend. And when you talk about Hugo Sanchez, well, also as the coach, I mean, coach of the Mexican national team, third place finish in Copa America. Sure, things got kind of tricky and sticky on his way out, but then look at what he did in the club level.
Yeah.
Pumas was the first bicampeón in its modern history of that format. That means back-to-back champions. He's done good things. He knows a thing or two. He also has history with the league as a player. I mean, the Dallas Burn, he was a player for the Dallas Burn. He has that going for him. He also has history in San Diego folklore. He played with the San Diego Soccers. He also happens to be a San Diego resident. He lives in Coronado. So there are a lot of things that kind of make sense here, like what he can give you at the world stage because of that name. But there are so many things that tell me this is just a bad idea if it happens.
Okay, because you painted both sides. Your gut says don't do it, San Diego?
My gut says it's year one for San Diego. You need to make a splash. Do it.
That's where I'm with you. I say do it. Of course, a guy that hasn't managed in 10 years, there's some concern there. But think about all the competition that San Diego has in that market. And we've talked about it just in the soccer sense. You've got Xolos, you've got Wave, you've got Loyal, you've got your former team, San Diego Soccers. They really need to make a splash, Herc. And Hugo Sanchez is that guy. He's not just a big name. He's a big personality. From a media standpoint, man, I got to say, I would absolutely love love to have Hugo Sanchez in this league. I think the one maybe concern would be from his perspective, and I heard you guys talking about this, Herc, on Ahora Nunca with Mauricio Pedrosa. What does this mean for Hugo next? Because we know he's always angling for the Mexican national team job. Would he be better positioned to get that job with San Diego or on the desk at Football Picante?
Did you hear the... Yes, the producer's right. He is always angling for Real Madrid.
Yeah, the Real Madrid job, too, of course.
Yes, that is true. Football Picante is La Masia of the La Liga MX. It is true. But remind me who the last Mexican national team coach was.
Tata Martino.
Where did he come from before that?
Atlanta United, Major League Soccer.
Nobody right now is giving Hugo Sanchez a chance. Mm-hmm. He was interviewed for Cruz Azul. They didn't give him a chance. He's been begging. He's been pleading to get back into the limelight for coaching for quite some time. Nobody's given him that chance. I think if this is a realistic opportunity, if this offer really exists or will exist, according to David Feitelson, and he's not the type to give a report like that if it's not backed, if there's a realistic offer, Hugo Sanchez should jump at it.
Yeah, when a guy like that, with that resume, is not getting work, it feels like he's kind of been blacklisted in his country, right? So maybe for Hugo Sanchez, this is the only and best chance that he's going to have to get back into the profession. Let's run it back with some Mexican national teamers that, like Hugo Sanchez, Herc, are scoring in Europe. Well, one, Cesar Montes, and he's also doing it in La Liga for Espanyol.
This sparked a comeback and kept their La Liga hopes somewhat alive. It's still a tricky situation. Got his second, but man, they're going to need some help going forward if they want to stay in La Liga.
Part of a 3-3 draw for Espanyol against Atletico Madrid. What a golazo there for Cesar Montes, the Mexican center back. Speaking of hanging banners, Orbelin Pineda and one-time Chivas manager Matias Almeida have another banner to claim. This time it's the Greek Cup.
Yeah, this is what a change of scenery can do for you. He was at Celta de Vigo, wasn't getting any love, almost out of the national team picture, makes the move, finds himself in a World Cup, and now doble campeón in Greece. I mean, what a 6 months for Orbelin Pineda and Matias Almeida.
Congratulations there to Orbelin Pineda, Matias Almeida, getting it done in the Greek League and, as you see there, in the Greek Cup. Speaking of cups, FA Cup final, June 3rd, Manchester City. Manchester United available on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus. Coverage starts bright and early, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time.
Gelhardt in the middle, Roberts looks for Carl, and it was nearly pushed. And it's a great save at the near post to deny Ekwan. And the ball, well, Sunderland.
Shot on the turn is a really good one. Ethan Horvath did well to sprawl and touch it behind.
Touchback for the shot. Ethan Horvath equal to it though. Holohan who goes for goal. Oh, it's a terrific effort. Horvath really had to be alert there.
Right, Ethan, again, thanks so much for talking to us. I mean, I think the last time that Luton were in the top flight, you were not even born. Probably. And now here you are in what arguably is their biggest match in about 30, 31 years. Just talk to me about the magnitude, because I know you're new still roughly to the Luton family, but the magnitude of a game like this.
Yeah, I think it's massive for them. I was lucky enough to be a part of the game last year, so I know a little bit about what the game means to like the Nottingham fans who have that history of winning Champions League and all of that. So, you know, I think you can look around here, see the stadium, see probably driven through the town, you know. So I think the magnitude of this game is just really massive for the fans.
All right, Ethan, if you could just like even explain to all of our viewers back home in the States what exactly the magnitude of a match like this is?
Yeah, it's a bit hard to put into words. I mean, you know, we got the NBA Finals going on now, so it's like my hometown Denver Nuggets are in it, so it's
shout out
yeah, Jokic, if they end up winning it, it's not like they're going to end up getting 200 million or whatever the amount is for this game, you know. I mean, and you look around the stadium here, it's for the fans, for the community, it's going to be massive. I mean, To get into the Premier League is one thing, but then to have all of that, I mean, what you could do to the stadium for the fans or for the community is endless.
And I mean, you mentioned, of course, the stadium. That's something that everyone's talking about, the expected upgrades and the fact that Luton soon, in a couple of years, will have a completely different home. But, you know, we heard a couple of the guys from the board just talking with us too, pretty much saying how it's a good thing and a bad thing, because when you're playing here, you feel like the fans are on top of you, and that's helped so much. What has that been like? Just talk me through your experience of coming. We know your ties to Forest, but coming to Luton and kind of having to make this your new home in the meantime.
It's been amazing. I mean, you know, I've been lucky enough, like you say, to be Forest, back in Bruges. I've been lucky enough, Champions League, and I've been to Real Madrid and PSG, Dortmund, and all these big stadiums, you know, but at the end of the day, it's the fans that really make the atmosphere and make it like home advantage. So to play at the Kendi, and I mean, the perfect example was Watford game and our last game against Sunderland. You know, the atmosphere was buzzing, the fans were right on top of you. And I think that's a shock for some away teams, you know, because, for example, the Sunderland game when we scored, I mean, the stadium exploded, and like, as a team, we didn't look back. We just kept going forward, and the fans went with us.
And looking at the season that you guys have had so far, I mean, I know there's still the big game to go, but overall, from what you expected when you just came last year to now, have you surprised yourself? Did you get surprised at the fact that, you know, now you're so close to a Premier League berth?
For me, yes, 100%. I'd be lying if I say it wasn't, you know. I mean, Luton had a fantastic season last year, you know, reaching the playoffs on the last day. So I think everyone was thinking maybe to top that, like, how can we do that? And I mean, to finish third, we finished comfortably third. I mean, I think it was a couple weeks ago, I looked at my wife and I was like, who would have thought, looking at where we are now before we came? I mean, it's been an unbelievable season, and from personal terms and for the club, it's been an amazing year.
And from talking and getting to know the guys around, of course, and the gaffer, what do you think has been the key to having such a successful season so far?
I mean, I think number one is maybe the togetherness. Like, I've never been a part of a changing room where the team is just so close. I mean, the banter and the, you know, it's just...
Do they make you feel like home from day one, or do they give you some American banter?
No, I get it every single day.
They tell you it's football, not soccer.
Yeah, I get it every single day, you know, like, but I love it, you know, and I can give it back and, like, give and take, and the team is just so close, and I think... we're just a hungry team, and I think the thing that's we respond. I think we haven't lost two games back to back at all this year. And I think prime example was, you know, we just went up to Sunderland. It was a difficult loss. Came back and we responded. You know, we did what we had to do. We got the job done. We've gone 16, 17 games unbeaten and in the champ. That's a really, really difficult thing to do. So just that togetherness we have. You know, we always have each other's back.
Well, walking out at Wembley for a final, I mean, it's something that every footballer of every level, I think, dreams of. You get to do that coming this weekend. Yeah. What's the support like now? Has the family come over? Is your dad here?
My mom and dad are here. My wife's brother and dad are going to come over. Those are the ones that can make it, but like, I know back home in Colorado, a real close family and friends will be watching it, and I know I have the support from everybody.
We'll have to call the Nuggets to get it on a big screen there or something, right?
Yeah, come on.
I know.
Come on.
We'll have to put in a word there for that.
Yeah.
And I mean, just overall, what would it mean for you on a personal level to play in the Premier League and get that spot going through Luton, with Luton, as you said, who have kind of become like another family to you?
Yeah, I mean, the absolute world, you know. Like, I was lucky enough to do it last year. I played a bit of a role in Nottingham's last year, a couple games I had to play, you know, which ended up being like an important run of games. But to be able to, like you say, walk out on the pitch starting 11 and to do it after playing 50 plus games, I mean, that the champ is no joke. Like, it's a big season, big sacrifice. It's a grind, and after 90 minutes, 120 penalties, whatever it is, like, if it happens to be our day, like, it's gonna be an emotional day for sure. I'm pretty sure, not just for me, but for everybody. You know, I mean, Luton have come so far, so to be able to do this is going to be amazing.
And career-wise, how big of a moment is this for you right now, especially potentially getting ready to play in the Premier League? Because we know that with the U.S., you guys keep blessing us with some top goalkeepers, so I know the competition ain't easy at all.
No, we've obviously
got Matt as well in the Premier League. You know, Zach almost could have made it there, too. Yeah. You, of course, getting your name up there now. Yeah. In your career now, how do you feel you are?
Right now, I feel like I've been the best that I've been, play Champions League and all that. But like this moment right now, I feel like I've been the best that I've been, the best that I've felt. And back to earlier, it was a bit of a selfish decision to come here for my career. And looking back on it, I'm happy that I did it. It's really paid off, and was blessed enough to go to a World Cup. And now hopefully on Saturday we're lucky enough to get promoted to the Prem, and it's life-changing. It's gonna be life-changing stuff.
Great stuff as always from Alexis Nunez and Herc. Pretty good stuff here. A good season for Ethan Horvath.
Amazing season for Ethan Horvath. Who would have thought, talking about goalkeepers for the U.S. and it's Ethan Horvath who we're talking about having the most successful season.
Ethan Horvath and Luton Town on the edge of the Premier League, and you can find out if they make it right here on ESPN+. It's the promotion playoff final. Luton Town, Coventry City, Saturday, 11:15 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN+. And Herc, that'll do it for this edition of the show. We do have a programming note, though. We got a long weekend, especially you. That's right. Memorial Day on Monday, did you know?
Why do I have a long weekend?
Well, no Football Americas on Monday. We're on Tuesday,
And
we will have a full recap of not just the first, but the second leg as well of the Liga MX final. Herc, you want to pick your overall winner?
Say it again?
You want to pick your overall winner?
Tigres.
Tigres TV. As if there was ever going to be a doubt.
You?
There he is, Hercules
you?
Gomez. I'll go Chivas just to be different. Oh,
the
man, that hurt my soul.
Goes Chivas.